This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 90. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you joined us. Call us right now with the questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, all about you. So, I tell you what, even though the election's over, let's save that for, let's let everything calm down, and we'll talk about it next week.
I hope we never talk about it, but okay. That's okay.
So,
politics free zone here.
So, along with stocks, we're not doing politics. And I'm going to let, I also really want the stock market to calm down, because it will. Everything will be back to normal. I really do believe that. It has historically. Yeah. So today we're just going to do six questions like we always do. And I love these questions. They do, once again, I try and pick them ones that will hit on a variety of topics. So here we go. You ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one, I'm trying to save a few hundred a month. So when our kids are old enough for a car, we can help them if we choose to. In other words, were they good enough or not? What type of investment would you put this into? The kids are 7 and 5. So it would be invested for about 10 years. There's that 10-year magic number, Amanda.
So I actually want more information from this person. Anytime I see someone saying that they want to invest so that they can help their kid with want purchases, it concerns me. So one, have you taken care of yourself? Are you fully through all of your baby steps? You'll notice in the baby steps, there's not a single mention of saving for your child's car.
Really? Purchase. Let me go check that list. Oh, no, it's not on there. No.
Not on there. We do have saving for your child's college education. So is that fully funded with what you're happy with to pay for their college education? Paying for a child's car and investing for that 10 years out, to me, seems really silly.
And you know how I am about this. I want to know how much they're saving for retirement.
Right. So that's in the baby steps, paying off all of your debts in the baby steps, having your mortgage fully paid off in your baby steps. If you've got all of those steps taken care of, then fine. I'm not going to judge you for saving for your kid's car. If you have any of those steps left, then you're doing it wrong.
Your kid's cars should not be. What are we buying here? A $25,000 car here? I mean, they should not be spending a bunch of money on a kid's car, because chances are, what are they going to do? They're going to wreck it.
Yeah. So, if you want to save a few hundred dollars a month the year before they turn 16, I get that maybe.
Yeah.
It's not something that you need to invest in that needs to grow to be $100,000 in the next 10 years.
I'm going to say anyway, it sounds like we're trying to buy something very nice and we're trying to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say buy love, but they don't need a brand new car.
They don't need that, and they need to have some skin in the game. So, if that's the way you want to do it, fine, but you better have all of the other baby steps done.
Yep. There is no retirement.
The very last baby step is, give and enjoy your money and all that jazz. You've got everything else done and your mortgage is paid off, all your debts paid off. You have your fully funded Roth IRAs. You've been doing your contributions at 15% in your 401k, and you've maxed all that out. Then maybe, I'd save some money for a child's car, but not until then.
All right.
10-year mark.
Like this, 7 to 10, we really don't like stuff risky because you could end up being flat or it could be below, because typically historical that has always shown it takes 7 to 10 years for a stock market to recover if there's a major downturn. We do not know. What would you do in this situation?
Well, so any investment you put it into, you're going to have to pay income tax when you take it out. So whether that's interest on a savings account or gains in a brokerage account, just keep in mind that you're going to pay tax on the income that comes from that. Yep. Because there's no tax-free zone to save money for someone's car.
No. Your capital gains and...
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple hundred a month can certainly add up. You can certainly consider putting it into a brokerage account and then going with the S&P 500 index with a 10-year time period. You should have a nice, healthy gain on that.
Yeah. And they could open up just a standard one. Because if you do an IRA, guys, you have to pay another penalty.
So yeah, that would be an entire an individual retirement plan. So you can only use that money for retirement. So not and only, a 529 is only for higher education costs, you know, or education costs. So none of those apply to purchasing a car. I don't know what's wrapped into the et cetera, but definitely not for a car.
You're basically stuck into doing regular investing of just buying a mutual fund or whatever, and you take it out and you pay taxes, and that's it. You're paying capital gains. So on the gain is what you pay tax on. So there you go. S&P 500 would be my bet as well. That's what we coach.
Yeah.
Simple. And those are no cost at our, if you go to our favorite places, Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, typically they have a zero cost index fund you can jump into. So there you go. Number two, Amanda. Go.
Okay, moving right along.
We are, just moving along. There's really nothing else on that. I'm trying to learn about margin loans against one's portfolio. Have either of you used one? Did you use for additional securities, business, or real estate? I'm trying to figure things out and looking into all the options. This seems really interesting with an exclamation point.
Yeah, I just closed my eyes and shook my head, so you know.
And you did you shake your head with an exclamation point? Because I did.
Yeah, I guess it is interesting if you want to bet bet for broke. Sure. No, I have not used a margin loan for anything, and I would strongly discourage anyone from doing so.
I do not take out loans to invest. I know I have fire friends thinking, and they start doing this math. They're like, well, if I go get a personal loan for this, I know I can make this if I invest it here. Okay, investing has risk. There's no guarantee in investing. So everyone thinks that they'll make money. And so there's a lot of people that are right now taking margin loans out on Robinhood, and they're new investors. They're taking out those margins, and now they're investing because they know Hertz is going to go up, even though it's bankrupt.
Yeah, there are plenty of examples of people losing. Well, first they make a bunch of money and then they're really excited and then they lose it all. And, you know, debt is debt. You have a loan to repay. And yeah, you might make some money, but the odds are not in your favor. Mm.
Do not use debt to invest. Please don't do margins. Even suicides have happened over this. Stay out of it. It's not good. And I don't want to hear any examples of the people that made a ton of money doing it. I'm not doing it. So my answer is no and no and no. I think that covers the question. if you want to do that, you're listening to the wrong group because that is technically debt. And we are not going to debt. We're definitely not doing it for investing. So
debt is for dummies. Yes.
Long-term mindset, guys. Quit doing this. That's going for quick money, by the way, man. Number three, personal finance tips for a student in their early 20s. Right now, I'm investing whatever I have left at the end of the month into index funds and a little bit into individual stocks.
That's terrific.
I thought this was a great question, and I'm glad that they're thinking this way, but go ahead.
I am as well, but I think it's worth reviewing the baby steps, Craig, to make sure that that's where they should be.
And that would be the best financial tips we can give a student in the early 20s. So the baby steps are, let's just go them through real quick. If you follow this, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds basic. It sounds like a long way. But if you follow it, it works. Number one, baby step one is $1,000 emergency fund. Plain and simple. Before you do any investing, paying a debt. Then if you have any debt, we pay off all the debt, all consumer debt. If you own a house, we worry about that later. So baby step three, which a lot of people don't want to do, It's build up to 3 to 6 months emergency fund, and you can put that in a online savings account. It's not going to make a ton of money, but yes, it's going to sit there, and trust me, it will make or break your life. It will help you so much. Number four is when we start doing our investing. The minimum is the 15% of your income going into a Roth retirement account, whether IRA or wherever you work. It's a 401k. Baby step five is if you have kids, you want to do the 529. That's up to you. We have mixed feelings about that, but you worry about the education of your kids that way. And number six, you pay off your mortgage. Then baby step seven is we go back to our investing part. We up it from 15%. We beef that up, and then we go out and enjoy life. Anything right. else?
No. So step back and make sure that you've accomplished steps one through three first. If you don't have that emergency fund set up or you don't have all your debt paid off, that's what that extra money at the end of the month should be going towards.
There you go.
But if you've got all those steps taken care of and you're on to four, five, and six, then terrific. What I didn't hear mention of an IRA, a Roth IRA. I didn't hear mention of any type of retirement fund. It sounds like this person's just working on index funds in a brokerage account and individual stocks.
Oh, good so catch. Yeah.
So we definitely want to make sure that that's in a Roth IRA to start. Go ahead and max that out. This year, it's at $6,000, I believe. Right, Craig?
Yep. Because, yeah, we're not protecting it from taxes.
Right.
A tax advantage account. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you want to make sure that you are contributing to your retirement account each month, because that's going to grow tax free, and then you'll have that to withdraw from once you retire at no income tax.
And if they start in their early 20s, you are easily, it's easy to hit $1 million.
Yeah.
Easy. But
and within the IRA, you can certainly make those purchases for your preferred index funds and individual stocks.
There you go.
So now, he did ask whatever, so for finance tips, of course, we always recommend the S&P 500 index funds, so that's a great one. Otherwise, in terms of personal finance tips, make sure that you have a budget. So it shouldn't just be, oh, I magically have money left over at the end of the month. You should know exactly how much money you're going to have, and it shouldn't be left over. It should be something that you've intentionally set aside for this purpose.
And you coach a zero budget, right?
That's right. That's why I said it should be intentional. Yep. There should be nothing left over.
Yep. Every month, and every month is different, guys. Like Christmas is a different month, and you now have presents to buy. So that should be budgeted.
Yeah.
You know,
or you have these annual renewals that come up. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. That's awesome. All right. So good luck. I'm glad you're thinking about this early, and please don't go in debt trying to keep up with everybody else trying to impress the girls. I assume you're a guy. I don't know. Guy, girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't try and impress anybody with stuff. All right.
Nope. And certainly, just because something sounds, you know, interesting, like our last question, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. So don't be taking advice from broke people.
And, you know, that's a good point, because I don't mean to pick on millennials or whatever like that. Or the, I don't mean, what's the generation now before millennial? Whatever it is.
Generation X or Zennial? Z or... is between X and millennials.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever the new generation, they're coming up with all these crazy ways of investing. Please don't listen to all that stuff. They're trying to beat the system. It doesn't work. You can call us old. Not Amanda old. You can call me old if you want. But long-term mindset will win. So just don't go over fast money. Please never do that. Just do long-term mindset. I think that's what they're thinking of, because they're doing index funds. Don't get crazy with crazy stocks. Don't listen to Robin Hooders. Just stay the course. Go with solid companies if you're going to do stocks, and leave it alone. You'll be fine. All right. Let's take a quick break, Amanda. We got three other questions, and I really like them. They're pretty simple, basic ones, but the engagement ring is coming back. We have that question again. So we're back right after this. You listen to Rockin' Money. We'll be right back.
Rock Stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Check out our website with tons of podcasts that you can, and links where you can subscribe, rockonthemoney.com. And you can find us on literally every place a podcast exists, even in your kitchen on your Alexa device. It's great. And Amanda's got a lot of great savvy savings we mix in there too. So it's all kinds of stuff. It's really good.
Yeah. Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. It's like a buffet of financial stuff. but our stuff is common sense. It's not radical. So some people don't like that. But if you follow our steps, it's basic financial 101. And it is the part that does work. So here's question number 4, Amanda. They're talking about Chris Hogan and Dave Ramsey in this question. Okay. So they're referring to something that they've said. Chris and Dave teach us to go down to 1,000 in savings until all debts are paid off. So they're maybe talking about baby step one, Amanda.
Mini emergency fund that, you know, is there to protect you while you're working on paying off your debts.
Yeah. So it's just what we talked about in question number 3. So that's the lead in. Here we go. I'm not clear on how to handle emergencies of more than $1,000 during baby step 2. An example would be a furnace replacement. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to let you do this thought. You're the master financial coach.
Yeah. Well, let me backtrack briefly. The history of the baby steps, they didn't have the initial emergency fund in the beginning when Dave Ramsey started the baby steps. They initially went right into the debt part, but then they found out through talking to people and watching and looking at some studies that you have to have that initial emergency fund. So they added that in there to start out. Anything over that, if you have to take out a loan or something, you have to do what you got to do. If we're going to go into debt, further debt because of something like a furnace, that you need. Going on a vacation like Disney World because you're stressed out over a pandemic is not a reason to do that. So you only do things that you need, like you need your transportation. But once again, Amanda, it's not going out buying a brand new car. You buy a hoopty.
Right, so, exactly. You buy something that's for transportation purposes only, not to look shiny in your parking lot. And don't try and fool us with, oh, I need something that's safe and reliable, and only a new car will give me that. That's just absolutely not true.
I hate those comments. And I hear that people justify everything. But a furnace, you need a furnace. You don't want to freeze to death. So that's justified, but you got to work out. You have to have your budget and figure it out. And I'm sure there's more things you can cut out or whatever, and maybe even deliver even more pizzas. Whatever you need to do, you got to do what you got to do. You know, that's what it is. And then, of course, Amanda, what happens? We've now used our $1,000 emergency fund. So now what we have to do? We have to go back to one. Once you figure that out, now we got to build that fund back up. And then we go back to baby step 2. So you're kind of a little cycle there. You got to start all over again. It is what it is. Life happens, but that's how it works. All right. Question number 5. Should I
find... We are just cruising here.
I know, but these are great questions. These are really basic questions, though. I mean, this is what people are thinking right now. Number 5. Should I finance my first car or outright buy one? I'll let you handle this one.
Yeah, so these podcasts are going to get shorter and shorter if we keep getting these softball questions.
I know, but this is what they're asking. I get this stuff all the time.
Yeah, so the question is, you should outright buy one. That should always be your goal. Now, we don't have context here, so that's kind of a tricky one, right? Right,
yeah,
Craig?
Right. Yeah.
So obviously, if your car breaks down and you're completely out of transportation and you need transportation in order to go to work to make money, then you may have little choice but to finance a hoopty, as Craig says. And if that's the case, Craig, why don't you share our financing rules for cars?
All right. So here's the rule, Amanda. Here's one that we kind of allow if you really, 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 really have to buy a vehicle. Right. No more than 36 months. OK,
right.
I definitely don't want to go past 42, but 36 months. And look, guys, we don't need to be spending more than $5,000 on these cars.
Right.
A $5,000 car is actually just as reliable as a 15 or 20.
In most cases.
In most cases, if you buy, you know, reliable cars. And I always recommend Consumer Reports. They always have a list.
You do.
I do. But they're the one that has no advertising. It's one of the last places I know that I believe is honest data, because they don't have advertised and they're not influenced by anybody that we're aware of. And I still believe in them, and they do have all that data. And so I go with them. So typically what we've gone over in our previous podcast is what brands, Toyota, Honda in general.
Yeah.
Those are the brands that keep showing up on the top 10.
Toyota is a safe bet. Honda, safe bet. Those are great ones.
But if look, you guys don't need $20,000 or $30,000 cars. And as what you said earlier, Amanda, don't try and justify because you have a brand new newborn baby that you need to buy a $50,000 king-size suburban, whatever they are. You don't
Babies
need
are
that.
Small. They're very small.
They're durable. I grew up in a time when I didn't need a helmet. We would make ramps in the middle of the street with trash cans and plywood, and we wreck all the time. I'm all right. Yeah. I'm half normal. Yeah.
Any sedan will take a baby seat, just so you know. A four-door sedan is perfectly fine. The baby seat goes in the middle in the back seat, and that's the safest place for it.
And the crash data shows most of these cars are all five-star front, back, side, up, down, inside, outside. They're fine. They're
and I would argue a sedan is probably safer with a baby seat in the middle than a minivan or an SUV or anything else that you're going to put the baby seat right next to the side of the vehicle.
Right.
I mean, I have no evidence to back that up, just to be clear.
Well, if you go to NHTSA.
It's an educated guess.
Yeah, if you go to the NHTSA website about baby seats, they have all the information about where it's supposed to go. And actually, if you look in your car's manual, it shows you exactly where the car seat's supposed to go and where the anchor points are for your vehicle. So, I mean, all that's in there, but nobody ever reads that. But anyway, guys, all these cars are safe. I mean, seriously, they are all safe. Don't justify. I hear everybody, well, and they go out, they have a new baby, and then they go right to the car dealership. Oh, man, I got to save, you know, keep this baby safe. Yeah, okay. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, we had a van that didn't even have seatbelts in the back when I was younger. I turned out okay.
In the 60s, 70s, we got in the back. The station wagons used to have a seat in the very, very back that aimed backwards. And you always open up the window and you always wave at the people that are following you. Yep. You threw popcorn at the cars behind you. And there were no seatbelts back there. You could get rear-ended. Yeah. Well, I could have died.
Or in these cars, you would like sleep up in the, it was like a shelf behind the back seat.
Yes.
Headrest.
And we all came out okay. You'll
or
be fine.
You ride in the back of a pickup truck bed. I mean, not recommended things to do. Just saying.
Right. These cars.
Any of the cars that are around nowadays have tons of safety features.
It is so safe in these cars. It's so safe to fly. It's so safe to do anything. People panic over a little bit of snow on a sidewalk in HOA. Oh my God, shovel your side. Everybody's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be okay.
You know what, though? The one car that doesn't make me feel safe is those little tiny electric cars that are like golf cart size.
Yeah,
what are they called?
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. That must be a Florida thing.
It probably is. Yeah. It's like barely enough room for one
person.
You're the
land of golf carts down there.
Yeah. Okay. Enough on, say, car safety, which we are not experts on.
No. I've been to a lot of auto accidents, and trust me, everybody was fine. Numbers there. Okay. They're okay. People have fender benders.
They were all fine, except for the ones who weren't.
Right. The ones that are the most dramatic are the fender benders. There's not even a scratch on the car, and you think they want to medevac with a helicopter. I'm like, you're okay. We'll put you on the back board because you desperately want to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting on my rant. I'm all fired up now. I'm getting flashbacks of people being so dramatic with their auto accidents. All right, number six. How much? I love this. We've had this once before. How much is an engagement ring supposed to cost? Mm-hmm. What if I'm in baby step three? What does the industry tell you you're supposed to spend?
So the industry, which is very good at giving commercials and marketing to women and their emotions, has forever and ever said that it should equal 3 months?
Yeah, it's almost like salary. 3 to 6. Yeah, 3 months salary or some crazy thing like that.
That's ludicrous. It's completely ludicrous. Stupid. So first of all, you're in baby step three, which means you do not have a fully funded emergency fund. You just got out of debt and you're not going to go into debt to buy an engagement ring. So it sounds like you can't afford much of an engagement ring right now, which is fine. It's about the, you know, you're, it's a token of your affection, and the meaning behind it is not tied to the size of the diamond.
This is really a touchy subject, and you're the woman. Let me ask you a question. Many girls grow up dreaming about this thing, and they of course they have friends at work, and so when you get engaged, they all want to see the ring.
Yes.
So it's almost like Valentine's Day. If you don't send the right flowers to beat the other flowers.
That's true.
So is this the same situation that you don't want to embarrass your girl because she's going to work? So you need to come up with something.
Something.
Or do you find the girl that she honestly does not care and she just wants the token?
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on all that?
So I think you should be proposing to someone who shares your financial values.
That's kind of where I was heading with. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and if she's going to be that upset with the size of the ring not meeting her standards, that's just a premonition of things to come in your relationship and arguments over budgeting. So what the ring should cost is what you've budgeted for it to cost. That's a very non-answer, I understand. But
No, I think it's perfect.
It's exactly
what I thought. I wanted to hear a woman say it.
Yeah, so you're in baby step three. You can start dedicating a portion of your savings after you've funded your emergency fund to an engagement ring. And a great place to find engagement rings, by the way, are pawn shops.
All right, so, okay.
Or Costco. I know you love Costco.
Okay, let's, that's true, actually. All right, let's get back to that then. I hate to draw this out, but okay, so they get the ring. How does the box thing work?
The box.
Well, you got to put it in, do you just give the ring without a box, or
get a box just about anywhere. I mean, I'm sure Amazon sells everything. I'm sure you can get a ring box somewhere.
But do they care if it's from Jared or not?
I don't.
Okay, I'm asking basic questions.
In fact, I would hate if it came from Jared because those are probably blood diamonds. Whoa. I mean, I don't know that for sure. Don't tell Jared I said that.
There you go. Well, you're the lawyer. You're the legal person. I didn't say it. That's on you. But no, you're right.
Here's my take on it. I think it's highly unlikely that any man is going to pick the ring that the woman really wants. No offense, guys.
No, I agree with you on that. That's tough for a guy to come up with.
It is. So my take is get something that works and is a placeholder, and then you can say, honey, we can save up for the ring of your dreams once we are past our baby steps.
I really like that. See, us as guys, we don't subscribe to bridal magazines. We don't know what all the cuts are. I would rather do the thing, have something, and then say, look, we will do that, and we can shop together, and then this is the budget, and we'll find the cut and everything, clarity, all that, you know, and that works for you.
And I'll tell you, that week after you get engaged is the only time anyone else cares what your ring looks like.
Yeah. After the first day after everybody looks at the ring and then it's over.
It's a very fleeting moment. And then no one cares. I promise you, no one cares what your ring looks like.
Kind of like when you buy a new car.
Yeah. I don't even wear them. I mean, people aren't even wearing their rings right now during this pandemic. I can't remember the last time I put my rings on.
Here's what I've noticed. A lot of couples are using those colored bands now.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if the rings are a thing anymore. I don't know.
Or simple bands, or, you know, the silicone bands, especially if you do a lot of CrossFit or working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are plenty of options, but my advice is to find a decent looking placeholder ring. I mean, there's really, to the naked eye, it's very difficult to tell the difference between an outrageously expensive ring and one that was purchased on a budget.
And going back to something you said, I'm glad you said it first, because here's the guy perspective for me. If any woman is that worried about a super expensive ring right there, I personally would run the other way.
Yeah.
Because that is your warning sign. It's only going to get worse. And you're not in the same financial mindset. And I'm telling you, love is great, but it is still a business relationship. And I'm telling you, it's going to go bad later. It's not going to turn out.
That might be one of the things that you focus on in baby step 7, where you're able to enjoy your money and live large and give generously.
There you go. Love that conversation. Why is the last thing in the podcast always the best one?
Well, that's so that people listen to the end.
Yeah, see, then I have to clip this out and repost it. But that, you know what? I'm going to carry this question and post it into the group. And then I want to go through and see what their thoughts are. I think, because we have a lot of women in our group, I want to see what they say. I think that would be really interesting. Anyway, thank you so much, Amanda. That was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.